I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-Hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Sioux Falls to St. Pete, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Stay listening, DA. Everything we say in DA, everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so that you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big Wednesday show for you. Baseball Hall of Fame vote is in. Derek Jeter, unsurprising, gets into Cooperstown. Larry Walker, more surprising, also does. We'll talk to Cooperstown Baseball Hall of Fame voter John Harper, a long decorated career with the New York Daily News, now a writer for Sportsnet New York, is going to join us on the show coming up in hour number three about his ballot. About Jeter, Walker, the steroid guy still not being able to get in, Bonds and Clemens, and much more. We'll discuss also fallout surrounding the Astros and what might come next for the Red Sox coming up at hour number three. In hour number four, two-time Super Bowl champion Max Starks on the offensive line of those Steelers teams of 05 and 08. We'll talk to Max about the upcoming Super Bowl 54 coming your way in hour number four. Also, on a Wednesday, I've got your champ and chump. That'll happen coming up a little bit later on in the show. We are stunned to a new. And this morning, will the NFL in Vegas be a disaster? Wait till you see what they're going to do for the NFL draft there. The Pro Bowl, perhaps the future of onside kicks. And are the Giants where head coaches wash up on shore? All of that coming up this morning on the show. I know you got thoughts on the Hall of Fame vote. I know you got thoughts on all those football stories. I know you got thoughts on the brawl at the Fog. All of that this morning on the show. And so I want to hear from you guys. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. Let us, of course, start at the Fog Allen Fieldhouse. Lawrence, Kansas, where two in-state rivals, Kansas and Kansas State, do battle last night. Kansas in the middle of a really good season, 15-3, ranked number three in the country. Kansas State a sub-500 season, 8-10, unranked. At the end of the game last night in Lawrence, Kansas, a wonderful, magical place to watch college basketball. I've been there before for some big games, and it is phenomenal. Kansas leads by 22 points. It's a blowout win by KU. Not surprising considering where the two teams are right now. As Kansas attempts to dribble out the end of the clock, Kansas State, one of Kansas State's Wildcat players, decides to steal the ball away while being dribbled out. He goes down the rest of the floor and attempts a layup, which is blocked. And then the Jayhawk player that blocked the shot stands over the Wildcat player and begins taunting him. This leads to punches thrown, benches cleared, brawl happening, and a stool being picked up and used almost as a weapon. To make matters even more delightful, last night all of this happened in the handicapped section of the arena. All class, all the way last night. So, who's most at fault for this brawl? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Silvio gets in the face of the Wildcats, who'd stolen the ball as he was trying to dribble off the clock. He posterizes the Cats, and now there's a scrum. Players from both sides at each other.
Oh, no.
Now they're running into the handicap section behind the basket. There are fans involved trying to separate the Wildcats. And this just ends ugly.
That was an embarrassment on our part for the role that we played in it. And there will be consequences that I'm sure I'll announce tomorrow for that role as soon as I'm able to study it and come to grips with all of it.
It should have been avoided. Again, it's my guys. It's my fault. They're obviously just came here with wanting to have a game, compete. And we didn't compete like we needed to, and probably a little frustration, especially you young guys.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That's the Kansas Jayhawks IMG Radio Network on the call. That was both head coaches Bill Self and Bruce Weber. If you want to break down the blame pie here, it's about 25% on K-State and 75% on Kansas. Because here's how it goes. Look, if K-State would have just simply allowed Kansas to dribble out the clock, none of this happens. And so getting salty there on dribbling out the clock, which happens a million times every basketball season, is the start of this. It's the spark that lights the flame. However, coming down the floor on the block and after the block, standing over the guy and taunting him is obviously unsportsmanlike. And then to add fuel to a raging fire, you have the Jayhawks leaving the bench, coming over to the baseline and getting in the middle of it. And D'Souza, who is the middle of all of this, picking up the stool. He's a member of the Jayhawks. Talk about escalating the situation. I mean, all of it is ugly, obviously, but for Kansas, standing over the guy and taunting him when you're already winning by 22 points is obviously going to create some friction, and then picking up a stool. Now, D'Souza is damn lucky. He was about ready to drop it and about ready or had an assistant coach grabbing it from behind. I don't know if he felt somebody grabbing it from behind, or that's why he was going to drop it, or he had thought better, but the guy has a stool over the top of his head. He is about to swing it like it's a WWE match. I was halfway waiting for Taz to be courtside calling the action. If he connects with that, if D'Souza swings a stool and hits a kid, hits a player, hits a fan, hits an assistant coach in the head and drops him, this is one of the ugliest marring incidents in college basketball history. Luckily, he did not. Luckily, that short-circuited before he could actually take a swing. But that was the scariest part about this. And by the way, hey, assistant coaches, can you keep your guys on the bench? Because the moment that this happens, everybody runs, including guys in street clothes, under the basket. Well, the guys in street clothes should not be racing across the court and under the basket to get involved. Now, part of the problem with this was it happened at the end of the game. Had this happened in the middle of a game, maybe guys would have still been tethered to the bench, still focused on the game, but people were already getting up ready for the handshake line. And so this is where the two coaches saw what was happening from the handshake line. So the whole thing ends up blowing up in everybody's face. And there's plenty of blame to go around. But the big takeaway is D'Souza's really lucky that he did not take a swing with that stool. Because that would have been bloody, dangerous, remarkably destructive, and one of the ugliest incidents ever. For the time being, it's a brawl, never good. But thankfully, not crazy, destructive violence. Like if you're swinging a freaking stool, like it's AEW or it's Nitro. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Why are you cringing at my wrestling references?
Number one, I don't think Nitro's existed in about 15 years.
All right, so?
I don't think the NWO Wolfpack is walking through that door anytime soon.
But Attitude Era, this would have happened.
Yes, it would have.
Okay.
Except one major difference.
Historically speaking, I am accurate here.
Yes, there's one major difference, though. When D'Souza grabs a stool, that's real life. When you grab the stool in AEW, Nitro, WWF, it is all fake, and anybody involved in wrestling was all fake and scripted.
Why do you have to go there? I mean, Bilotti was
fake.
Bilotti was already annoyed at you yesterday, and then off the top, 12 minutes into the show, you're already taking a shot at his sport.
Because when you're giggling, making wrestling references, you know where I'm going. I can't take the... Nobody actually got hit with real chairs. It was all stunts.
Why are we talking about wrestling stunts?
Because you're referencing a
it's
stool.
It's a college basketball brawl.
But he's picking up a stool and you're telling me it's the same as Monday Night Nitro. No, it's not. This is real life.
Is it the same?
It's very similar.
Thank you.
Very similar.
See?
Oh, all right. You're right. Kansas and Kansas State, you know what? Let's go play the Hell in the Cell next week on Sunday night.
They basically did last night.
Maybe we'll just do a Royal Rumble. Play somebody's music every 30 seconds. Somebody comes running out.
Oh, my God! That's D'Souza's music! By God! That's Bill Self's music! Who's the most to blame here in the brawl?
Oh, it's D'Souza. It's 100% D'Souza. First of all, the game is over.
It's 100%? I mean, K-State did decide to steal the ball as they were dribbling it out.
All right, 95%. The only problem I have with that is, even if they're going to be petty and steal the ball, it's the taunt and standover to me that is the biggest disgrace of everything. The repercussion of stealing the ball is the block at the end. It's, okay, you want to play funny business? I'm going to go hard to the whistle too. But once you block it, laugh at them and walk off. The moment you stand over flexing like that, you are welcoming. I mean, that sounds like a high school brawl. I reminisce of when I had a soda cap pulled around in my head and I had to flip somebody on a table. I stood over him and the next thing I knew, a melee ensued.
Whoa.
Back down!
Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We're learning a lot here.
We've done this story.
You had a bottle cap twisted on your forehead?
I am pretty sure we did this story on the show years ago.
I don't think so. What happened?
I was the big guy in the room, senior year of high school.
Okay.
Might have been a junior.
Okay.
Freshman comes in. And they wanted this freshman wanted to fit in with all the kids.
Lunchroom?
Lunchroom. And told them, and I had a broken thumb at the time, so I was in a cast, said, you see that big guy over there? That's Moorish. You go take that bottle cap, go screw in his head, see what happens. And he came up to me from behind, and he took a cap off a soda, put it on my forehead, and twisted it.
Plastic
cap, creating an indent circle in my head. Thinking it was somebody screwing around me, not somebody I didn't know.
Back of your head or front of the head?
Front of my head. Like, it came from behind the front of my head. My natural instinct was I took this little weasel, pipsqueak. I put him basically in an arm lock over me, and I flipped him over onto a table. And I saw it was a young freshman, and I stood over him and flexed. And next thing I knew, because now it looked like nobody who had seen it thought I was picking on a freshman, and then people who did see it and knew the freshman was at fault, the lunchroom got up, and it was basically a melee, and I was dragged outside, and I was given 5 days suspension. But like, ooh! That's what I'm talking about. Who's at fault there? The bottle cap pusher is the stealer, but I'm also the block and flexer.
Pop goes
people will say I didn't need to flex over him, but I wanted to prove a point. You don't come at me like that. And I was suspended. It was the only time I was really suspended from school. Hmm. I was D'Souza. That kid was the bottle cap twister, the Steeler.
Okay. So that kid was DeJuan Gordon.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that added to my take. I don't know. All right, so you got thoughts on last night's brawl at the Fog? Hit me up at 855-212-4CBS. I know people talking about whether D'Souza should be kicked out of college basketball for good. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Or did K-State start this because they went after the dribbling out of the clock? That was DeJuan Gordon trying to get after the ball. When we come back, the Giants are just collecting the island of misfit coaches. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
Big fan now. I just want to just tip my hat to you guys and say you guys are very articulate in how you guys talk about your sport.
Polar bears have tails, I think.
Enrique Agumbales.
Pixie Land and Dixie Dust.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate you being with us on a fine Wednesday. Brawl time last night at the Fog. This is not the music that the NCAA or the Big 12 would play while talking about said brawl or melee.
Yo, what you doing? I don't know what you doing. Oh, I know, bruh.
Next week, we're on Radio Row in Miami, broadcasting live from South Beach in the home of Super Bowl 54. The guest list already hopping. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we are rocking and rolling from the home of the Super Bowl. Be with us along Radio Row, always one of our favorite weeks of the year here aboard the mothership. It's time to ask the pros today, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, pick a question, any question, like, why is Mraz fat? Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm just reading the script here.
We've discussed this before.
You can always tweet at me, DA on CBS. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. You know what that is, Andrew Bogish? A ninja move by Pete the Body Bilotti.
For me, it's intense gas over and over.
Remember that Bilotti wanted Mraz to do his work for him today. Mraz fought it tooth and nail after coming over from his own personal strike. Bilotti wanted him to do the reads. Mraz probably, in his normal lazy fashion, simply, without proofreading anything, took the old reads and gave them to me. And Bilotti, very intelligently, very savagely, just inserted a ask me a question like, why is Mraz fat? And Mraz, of course, not doing his job very well, didn't catch it in the proofread.
And nothing has been less shocking than that. Did we really think that Sean was going to thoroughly look through anything?
Well, here's the thing.
Fat.
Yesterday's PGP, which me, you, and him taped, was, I thought, very enlightening. I was unaware. I was stunned to a news to find out that because of Mraz's promotion into sidekick,
fat,
that there was a serious resentment that had been building around the newsroom.
Yes.
You had alerted me to this. And because Mraz is unapologetically doing less work now, unapologetically, and has gotten a raise and has talked openly to everybody in the company and the business and the newsroom about what a great promotion this was for him.
Put an extension on my house. You guys should come see the new deck this summer. Yeah, we know.
That there is this building resentment because he, again, is doing no work, more so than he was before.
Well, interesting you say that, because it did happen again this morning. It reared its ugly head this morning. It's
in the proofread?
No, in a different situation, because Sean actually was doing work this morning.
Okay.
Because he was doing Pete's work.
Oh.
And I guess the email here is slow, so Sean was frustrated, might have pounded the desk, said, get me out of here. and somebody else in the newsroom said, oh, one day back from strike and already complaining about working. So it's there, and it's only going to get worse.
So, Mraz is being resented around here because of his success,
mm-hmm.
because of his unapologetic doing less work and getting paid more attitude.
Correct.
And then he went on strike.
Yes.
Within the first 2.5 weeks of this new job. I didn't realize this, but there's a lot of people that really, really resent him over this. And so something like this is going to happen regularly. Somebody like Pete the Body Bellotti is going to be smarter than your average bear and slip it into Mraz's lackadaisical work ethic to put the egg on his face, or in this case, a bottle cap on his forehead.
I am the producer / sidekick.
And it's not even February yet. This is just beginning. There are plans just being hatched and workshopped and figured out and finalized.
Which clears it.
This started last year, 2019, a couple months ago, with the deletion of the pork store stuff. And Mraz, you've put a target on your back.
Me. Again, to be the greatest, you got to beat the greatest. And I think what
who did you beat?
No, I'm talking about everybody else trying to come after me.
Okay.
And I respect that. To climb the mountain, you have to take down
climb
the king.
Climb the mountain.
But who did you beat to become the best?
I built the mountain.
Oh.
I built
he
the mountain.
He is the mountain.
Which mountain?
So, and again.
Space Mountain.
Mount Lardo.
Mount Kilimanjaro. People always want to come after the leader. So I get it. It comes with the territory of who I am. I love everybody. I have love for everybody. I'm not out here crushing anybody.
Okay. Okay.
Key Lardo.
By the way, Mraz's beloved New York Giants just collecting every crummy head coach ever. Okay, so Jason Garrett becomes offensive coordinator. They've also hired Freddie Kitchens to an unnamed job. People
yes.
believe it's going to be the tight ends coach. So you have a staff, which, I mean, talk about Mensa candidates here. You've got Jason Garrett teamed with Freddie Kitchens and also Brett Bielema's being added to this staff. I mean, how many different guys can you get that were fired for underachievement on one staff?
How many more spots do they have to fill?
I don't know. This is amazing, really. Like, is Greg Robinson the next defensive coordinator?
I mean, they did talk to Scott Linehan this weekend, and he hasn't gotten a job anywhere else. So, I mean, I guess he's still technically on the table.
The island of misfit toys on the Giants coaching staff is incredible. Bring us your poor, you're hungry, you're fired. Bring us all of your awful, disgraced head coaches. We will give them all jobs. Basically, the Giants coaching staff is a Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah. Does everybody think you're bad at your job? We don't. Come work for the Giants.
Ben McAdoo coming back to coach the wide receivers.
Dave Campbell available.
This is awesome. Every disgraced head coach of the last 10 years is going to be on this staff by the time that Joe Judge fleshes it out.
And in a shocking twist, non-homer Sean Mraz thinks this is a great decision on Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, no, Mraz, totally unbiased about the Giants, as we learned yesterday, thinks that every single one of these hires is a brilliant stroke of genius.
Again, you guys are basing this off the fact that they were failed head coaches. I ask you, how did they all become head coaches? How?
Well, I'll tell you how Freddie Kitchens did. Because they thought he was the perfect fit for Baker Mayfield. And I stumped you on Twitter last night saying that Baker was fine this year. Baker was a train wreck this year.
The one thing
he should have done was coach Baker Mayfield. Well, he couldn't even do that.
Because he had to focus on being a head coach. And much like most of these guys, they can't handle both what got them to be a head coach while being a head coach. So if you take away the head coaching responsibility, they go back to being the excellent assistants they were, which is what the Giants are doing with a rookie head coach. This is a genius move. The Giants immediately have one of the best staffs in football now. And you guys only know they stink because they stunk as head coaches. They climbed the ladder, much like me climbing the ladder here.
Freddie was yanked up the ladder, and it was a horrible mistake.
Because he was friends with the quarterback.
Right, and now he's going to ruin Scott Simonson, whoever else is a misfit tight end for the Giants.
Bottom line is this.
Thanks, Pete.
Get Freddie Kitchens and Jason Garrett in their ear. To the quarterback, to Daniel Jones, and groom him. You get what Freddie Kitchens did with Baker in year one? We got that with Daniel Jones.
What about year two when he had 21 interceptions?
Because he wasn't focused on that anymore. He was focused on being a bad head coach. We're not asking these guys to head coach the team. You guys don't understand. They're not hiring these guys to be the head coach. They're hiring them to be assistants. They were all good assistance places. Mm-hmm. That makes these good hires. They have experience. They can learn from their mistakes as head coaches and go back to being the damn good assistants they were.
Running backs coach, Hugh Jackson. Defensive backs coach, Raheem Morris.
Who's blasting the Jaguars today for hiring Jay Gruden?
The show just started.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. Linebackers coach, Bob Sutton. Bring all of the disgraced fired head coaches here. We will give you a job. It's like odd jobs or odd lots.
Look, bottom line is this. These guys were good assistants. That's what you do. You want to hire good assistants. And you know what? In that week, when Joe Judge maybe has a little stress as head coach, and he could turn to Brett Bielema, who's coached at two big conferences, he could turn to Freddie Kitchens, who had to deal with the nonsense last year in the Eagles, and he could turn to Jason Garrett to deal with Jerry Jones. Those are guys he can lean on and say, all right, you
Freddie
guys made
Kitchens
mistakes.
Was the problem. He wore that stupid T-shirt to a movie theater. He wasn't helping the situation. He was only fueling it.
And when Joe Judge goes, I don't want to make the same mistake you guys made. Tell me where you went wrong. Sure. That's stuff that can happen in the head coaching.
That's what he's going to watch the opposite of what he should do in person and learn from it.
And you heard Joe Judge speak. Joe Judge isn't going to take nonsense from Freddie Kitchens. He's going to do as Freddie Kitchens is told.
Yeah.
Judge.
Again, you're not a homer.
But if they hired somebody yesterday not named Freddie Kitchens, you guys didn't know. We're not even talking about it, and you guys would have no idea if it's a good hire or not.
Yeah.
But based on the fact that he was a bad head coach, now it's a bad hire. That's silly. That's nonsense.
He's a buffoon.
But he was a good assistant coach.
Actually, he wasn't. I mean, he was good. He was a good play caller for a month.
Oh, so Baker Mayfield didn't have the best rookie year of a quarterback.
Ever?
Yeah.
He was better as a rookie, yes.
Yes. And the moment Freddie Kitchens could have to take his eye off him and focus on being a head coach, what happened to Baker Mayfield?
Come on. You and I both know that if Freddie Kitchens was hired by the Jets or the Cowboys or the Eagles or anything else, you would clown them.
Everybody keeps saying
you
this.
You would absolutely
clown. The proof
clown
is in my Twitter. Scroll back.
I just like the idea that the New York Giants staff is like when I go shopping for irregular socks.
Mike Tice will handle special events.
I get it. Admittedly, they have failed head coaches, but I think that's a good thing.
All right, Andrew Bogish is in with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, everybody. Here are these headlines sponsored by NFL Network, your home for the most playoff coverage anywhere, all the way through Super Bowl 54. NFL Network, one network all postseason long. Kansas and Kansas State, the only misbehaving college teams last night, but we do have a misbehaving head coach. Walter McCarty out at Evansville after more allegations surfaced during an internal investigation. McCarty had been on administrative leave since late December following allegations of sexual misconduct and Title IX violations. Todd Licklider, an Evansville assistant last season, takes over. You'll remember this season began with Evansville winning at number one Kentucky. And now just a month or two later, out of a job altogether is their head coach.
The only reason anybody knew that Walter McCarty was a head coach was earlier this season, he beat Kentucky. And now, 45 days later, essentially, he's out?
Out.
Now, what is the scandal that they're talking about?
So it sounds like the quick reads I've seen so far since last time this morning, it sounds like he was having inappropriate relationships. I think it sounds more like maybe HR violations than like a criminal thing, but that's where we're going here. That he might have been dipping his pen in company ink too often.
What a metaphor.
Isn't that the metaphor?
Holy cow, I love that.
Is that not new? I didn't think of that.
I had never heard of that.
Really?
Wow.
You've never heard of that applied to dating within the company?
That's great. That's such a good one.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Dipping his pen in company ink.
Yeah.
I will absolutely use this.
I believe that was what was referenced when Doug Peterson was doing whatever he was doing with Kansas City before he got shifted over to the Eagles.
Oh, is that why? I didn't realize that was part of the Doug Peterson story.
You don't remember that?
I vaguely do, but that was really more of just speculation.
Of course. We want to reiterate speculation that Doug Peterson was dipping his pen in company ink.
His quill.
Right.
He would have a quill.
To a chief secretary, and Doug Peterson's wife was very friendly with Andy Reid's wife, and Andy Reid's wife nudged Andy and said, you got to get this guy out of here so he stops wrecking that marriage. And then Andy Reid, thinking he'd be slick to the team that let him go, pushed him on the Eagles, only to come back and bite him in the face because Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl before he did.
Yeah, no, he's great. No, Doug's really, really good. Right. You'll love him.
Why don't you want him? It's okay.
No, we're fine.
It's for you. Thinking about you. On the court last night, San Diego State, still perfect.
Trey Pulliam starts the baseline drive from the far corner. Can't go anywhere. Out to Malachi. He'll pull up for the three. Good! Malachi Flynn from Tacoma, Washington, and Washington State. He'll go to double figures. Only Wetzel was there with 12. Now Malachi is there.
Ted Leitner on the Aztec Radio Network. Malachi Flynn, 18 points. 14 for Yanni Wetzel in a 72-55 victory over Wyoming. SDSU is now 20-0, matching the start they had in 2010-11 with Kawhi Leonard. Eighth-ranked Duke hammered Miami, 89-59. Number 9, Villanova handled number 13, Butler, 76-61. And number 17, Maryland rallied for a 77-66 W at Northwestern. The Terps were down 14 at halftime. Only one NBA game last night. Kawhi and his Clippers won in Dallas, 110-107. Leonard scored 36. His team's won 8 of 10.
Everybody's trying. Everybody's being aggressive. You know, we sort of got a flow of who we are, and, you know, everybody's making winning plays.
The Mavs got Kristaps Porzingis back from a 10-game absence with right knee soreness. He scored 10 on 4 of 17 shooting, but then Dallas lost Dwight Powell to a likely torn Achilles. Derek Jeter and Larry Walker are Hall of Famers this morning. The Rocky Slugger knows his place in this duo.
As great as Derek is, I'm kind of going to be like that. Remember those old 45s we used to listen to, and they had the song on the A side. the song on the B side you really didn't know about? I'm the B side.
I love the self-deprecation from Larry Walker, but did I see him on TV wearing what appeared to be like a Jeff Gordon racing suit with SpongeBob SquarePants
on
it?
That is exactly what he was wearing.
So Larry Walker, on the day he was voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, wore a SpongeBob SquarePants racing flame retardant suit.
Just a shirt. I think he had regular shorts on, but yeah, it was like a NASCAR themed structured shirt with like the shoulder patches, and yeah, that was just all he did was Larry, a name tag on the front of his chest.
He was part of the Sergeant SpongeBob Lonely Hearts Band.
I don't know what was going on.
I mean, I guess I respect that play.
Do you?
I don't know. I don't want to be the guy that hates on that play because it is unique and creative and self-deprecating, and that feels like all things that I appreciate, but it is a little jarring to see on the day you just got voted into the Hall of Fame to basically be a clown.
Well, I need him to be a shill. Like, if that somehow was somewhere like a business thing, I can at least handle that. If that's just the shirt he thought he should wear on Hall of Fame Day, I think there's a conversation to be had there.
Yeah, you know, I'm not one to take things too seriously, certainly not myself, but this feels to be the greatest accomplishment of your life.
Mm.
And the moment that you're being honored for your legendary career in your sport, and you decided to honor the occasion by wearing a SpongeBob SquarePants band outfit.
Yeah, I mean, I'd even argue why Larry Walker owns that shirt at all, let alone wears it on Hall of Fame Day. And he doesn't need to be in a tux, but like just a regular polo is fine.
And with all due respect to Larry Walker, again, he's Canadian. Maybe this is formal wear in Canada. I'm not sure.
Can't speak to that.
But he got in by the virtue of 6 votes.
Yeah, on his last try.
So he just scooted in. Not that he has to bow at the altar of Cooperstown, but it feels a little bit like, I know I'm a joke. I shouldn't have gotten in here anyway, so I'll just treat it as such.
Now, he did tweet in the afternoon that he didn't think he was getting in, so maybe he was dressed up when he thought he wasn't going to get in. He switched to, like, his relaxing, like, sad clothes and then couldn't change out of the SpongeBob shirt when the call came to say you're in, surprisingly. I don't know, but
It does cheapen the vote a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, and the internet
does it. A little bit.
Baseball, we want guys to have fun. He's having fun. He's wearing a SpongeBob shirt. You got too many rules with wardrobes.
Or you have no rules with wardrobe.
Yeah, maybe
Bill O'Brien can't wear team licensed sweatpants on the sideline.
Well, that's
now,
absolutely true.
Now Larry Walker can't wear a SpongeBob shirt?
Look, I'll go back to my Bill O'Brien take. Bill O'Brien makes $4 million a year or so to be the CEO of a corporation. If our CEO of CBS or Entercom walked into the office and we knew he made $5 million or she made $5 million and they were wearing a sweatpants suit to work, we'd be like, come on. Can you dress up for us a little bit? So it's no different just because he works in sports. It's no
it
different.
It should be.
Well, it should not be.
He's not trading stocks down in NASDAQ.
Again, you are the guy that says, if I allowed you, or the bosses, because it's not really my dress code, to wear sweatpants, you would be more productive.
Absolutely.
I think that that is problematic in your attitude towards work. I think the fact that you need to be given loungewear to work harder speaks to how little work ethic you have and how much you need to be coddled emotionally.
Because if I'm wearing tight jeans, I got to get up and stretch.
Don't wear tight jeans then.
Everybody else does, but you need to have loungewear?
I have a weird waist.
Thank you.
Sweatpants would make me sit here longer and be more attentive.
There is no way, none whatsoever, you do not walk out the door at the same exact time every day if you are wearing triple XL FUBU wear. Not a chance.
You're right. I'd walk out the door earlier because I'd be done my work quicker.
Yeah. Dude, the argument would be that the sweatpants would make you relax. At least the uncomfortable jeans keep you alert so you might do something.
No,
if you had sweatpants on, you just straight fall asleep.
I've already picked three wedgies this morning in these jeans. That would not be happening in the sweatpants.
I could just imagine 10, 12 a.m. Eastern time, nacho cheese coming down his chin as he's in huge triple X loungewear.
So now I'm just having nachos for brunch every day.
Sleeping. Is that out of the...
During the week,
possibility?
During the week, you know I have an apple with peanut butter.
Okay, so sorry. If you had ever worked a Saturday, you'd be eating nachos.
That's
here.
Fair.
Would you work better if you had nachos and cheese during
no,
the week, too?
No, that would okay. I'd be very lethargic.
Oh, okay.
Find myself dozing off sometimes on a Sunday during games.
Are those the updates?
Just Walker. That was from MLB Network, by the way. He and Jeter, Ted Simmons, Marvin Miller go to the Hall of Fame officially in July. And yeah, now I'm done.
Oh, I'm quite the crevice.
Quote, I have a weird waist. Okay.
Where's Ridgely? Ridgely also dressed appropriately when he was here on Monday.
Yeah, shocking.
On top of doing a good job, he came in business casual.
And not to his job.
Right.
He came in here because that's a respectful outfit to wear.
I'm wearing a Ralph Lauren button-down today. Do I get credit? No. But if I showed up in a tank top and moobs flopping out in sweatpants, suddenly I'd be a criminal.
Yes, exactly.
Why do you always want credit for doing the right thing?
Right. The least thing, too.
Because that's the problem with the world. We always focus on the negativity and crushing stuff when people are negative. When people do the right thing, we just accept it. We don't congratulate them.
Because you're supposed to do the right thing.
But if you've patted people on the back more, people would be more prone to do the right thing.
Exactly. You need to be patted on the back more. The promotion, the title change, the raise, the better hours were not enough.
Not even to hug you when you get here in the morning?
Well, also, like, you need to be complimented constantly.
Well, and don't forget that, yeah, the social media post, it's so early, getting the early bird gets the worm. Somebody else tell me I'm doing a good job.
Look, you guys make a lot of valid points, but is anything ever enough in life?
For you, no. Does your dad wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go slice deli meat every day and need the grocers to tell him how great the meat is? Or does he just do it?
I can't speak to what happens in that deli anymore. I would assume he just does it.
And has for 30 years.
But maybe that speaks to why he's so grumpy when he gets home.
Okay. Sean got stupid jeans from his father's side.
855-212-4CBS. There's just no easy transition out of this. 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, already signed that the Vegas NFL experiment is going to be really hard to watch. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Hey, good morning, DA. First off, I want to say I'm really loving you on Instagram. Loving your post.
We've had some Twitter affairs here and there.
And videotaping on YouTube and Facebook.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I have a weird waist.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. And it's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. Thanks for being with us. Remember that the DA show is available on your phone wherever you go. If you can't get it on your normal radio or your smart speaker, you can take us with you wherever you go simply by downloading and listening to the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or on Apple Music. So, because the NFL is desperate for the show, because they are desperate for the event, because the NFL likes the idea of being quote-unquote cool. They wanted a team in Las Vegas. They wanted Vegas. And that's fine. I hope beyond hope that the Raiders situation is cool. I hope that the black hole resurrects itself. I hope that it is a character-laden, rich in context, fun atmosphere, and that it brings the personality and color that the black hole did. And if they get to do it, if Raiders fans get to do it in a brand new stadium where they have big concourses and more beer stands and better bathrooms, hey, cool by me. My worry is that the NFL is going to try to become Cirque du Soleil and a sideshow in Las Vegas with the Raiders, and that nothing will ever feel like football. It'll all feel like a show, a Vegas sideshow. And I got my first hint of this as they have announced the NFL draft in Las Vegas will include a red carpet on the Bellagio fountains. And I'm sorry, I just don't need this. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't need it. I get it. In 2020, a lot of Americans need this. They want the show. They want the lights. They want the ridiculousness. They want the cheap, tacky Vegas show to be part of everything that happens. So everything is a show because we need to be entertained by twinkling lights and fireworks and loud sounds at all times. I get it. It's reality. I don't need it. And when I see that there's going to be a stage in a fountain with a boat bringing up the draft picks, I vom. Really? This is what I need in the NFL draft? I need Joe Burrow on a tugboat going up to the stage? Great. Siegfried, Roy, the Tigers, one of those guys died. A magician. Why don't we put them all on stage? Okay? Why don't we just do a magic trick every time that a team picks a player name out of a hat? You pull a rabbit. We'll do Freak Zone. We'll have somebody flying in on a trapeze. Giant snow leopard. And the second pick of the NFL draft, Chase Young. Maybe that's what we should do.
Where are they sitting, the guys representing the teams with the foam helmets? Are they sitting in the water as well? Or are they just that far away from stage?
Yeah, I don't think the foam helmets are part of this one.
They answer the phone. They run in the card. They got to be somewhere. Where are they now? Caesars?
They get scuba guys that swim up to the stage with the card. Come on. The NFL is just already so tacky in so many ways, and this is just more of it. The NFL draft in the Bellagio fountains with a boat to bring the draft picks up to the red carpet. I mean, gag me. Gag me. When we come back, we'll jump into your phone calls on the NFL, the brawl, and Jeter's nearly unanimous selection.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.